Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today, Pastor Kyle continues his teaching on transformation by telling about the pathway to holiness, by comparing God's loving care of us to the guardrails that protect drivers on dangerous roads. Tune in to learn more on this subject.
I invite our youth to come forward for a brief message. Good morning. So, Miss Debbie just read to us a passage from the book of Ezekiel. Is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Close. Yeah, it is the Old Testament. Yes. You had a 50-50 shot on that. That's fine. So, does anybody remember how many books are in the Old Testament? 39, exactly right. Yeah, so, very good. So somebody's been looking at the Bible, but we're talking about today. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a Christian?
It means that
you can get in touch with God. Okay, you can get in touch with God. Okay, true.
But also, Christian means little God.
Means like little Christ. Yeah, that's right. Wow, you've been paying attention to the sermons. Okay, good for you. So, all right, so if somebody were to look at you, how would they know you're a Christian?
Okay, because
you could talk about the Bible a lot. Okay, what else? How were some other ways people might know that you're a Christian, that you follow Jesus? Could be wearing a cross, yeah. Yeah, I've got one on right here, right? Was that a help? Was that a hint? Okay, just check it. What's that?
Being baptized,
yeah, that would signify that you're a follower of Jesus. What about how we act? What about the things we do? Are there things that we could do that would make people believe or let people think that maybe we're a Christian? Like what would be some things that we would act? We'd pray, okay, sure. Be nice. That's a really big one. That's a big one. You know, being nice to others. You know, especially if somebody's having a bad day, if they're sad, or maybe they're all by themselves. You know, being nice to them would be a great way to show people that when they say, "Wow, you know, that was a very Christian-like thing to do," kind of stuff. And there's other things we do. You know, Jesus never said any bad words. So if we act like Jesus, probably we don't want to say the bad words either, right? And that's what really being a Christian is all about, is doing things like what Jesus did. You know, how he was nice to people, and he helped people. And then, he knew the Scriptures, and so we could learn by reading the Scriptures, and following his example would be a great way to let people know.
Let me tell you something at my school.
Okay.
So there's this girl that just keeps on swearing at school.
Oh, boy. She's swearing at school. That's not good.
She says she believes in Jesus. And I said, why do you keep on swearing? And she says, because Jesus did.
Well, I don't think if you look through the Scriptures, you'll find any instance where Jesus was swearing at all either.
No.
And so that's one of the things people look at people outside of church. How will they know they're a Christian if they're swearing like that? It's going to be hard for them to see that, right? So it's important that we look and see, follow the model that Jesus laid out for us here, and we try to do that. And try not to use those words is probably a pretty good choice. Do you have any questions about Jesus, God, or the Bible? No? Not today? Maybe someday. Okay. Will you pray with me? Okay. Dear God, thank you for being our friend.
Thank you for being our friend.
And showing us the example of Jesus.
Help us to be nice to others
and follow his example. Amen. All right. Fantastic. Oh, and there's some bags up here if you want to take any of these back. There's some activities. I'm going to give you two. Can you carry two at the same time? You got it? Okay, it's heavy.
Well, I already have one.
Okay, well, but it's got an it's got an activity book in there with you too. So maybe okay.
You can keep it.
I won't push it. Okay. So we're continuing in our sermon series on Transformers, the Age of Redemption. And this week we're going to be talking about God's plan for redemption. And if you recall from last week, we talked about how Jesus gave us instructions to be holy, to be perfect. Well, we all know that nobody's perfect. At least that's what we are taught, right? So it's sometimes it's difficult. Well, how can we be perfect like our Father is perfect unless there's a way that that could actually happen? And so when we look at that, Jesus has given us some instructions on how we can be spiritually perfect. And that's what we're going to talk about. There's a way to do that that can really make a big difference. And so we're going to look at that some more today. Now, between Calderwood, Tennessee, and Davis Gap, North Carolina, U.S. 129 contains 318 curves in just 11 miles. With that many twists and turns, it has earned the nickname Tail of the Dragon. You know, many sports car enthusiasts and motorcyclists have braved this stretch of road. There are plenty of crashes and wreckage from those who tried and failed. So it's in the Smoky Mountains near Cherokee National Forest. An average of one road death occurs every year. Many more would have happened if not for guardrails placed in critical areas. You know, in many lesser developed countries, driving on the sides of mountains without guardrails is just a part of life. And when roads have hazards, you know, the edge of the road, guardrails are placed to help keep us on the path we are headed. Imagine, though, what it would be like if there were no guardrails along those hazardous stretches of roads. There would be untold number of tragedies in such an environment. In certain ways, God has helped us by installing guardrails in our lives as well. You know, unlike the other creatures in God's creation, we were made special. The scriptures tell us we were made in the image of God. In that original state, we were perfect. God's love surrounded us. We were spiritual mirrors, and we could reflect back God's love to him and into the world. But after Adam and Eve chose themselves over God, every one of their descendants' mirrors were clouded from the start of their lives. It's like that bathroom mirror I mentioned last week on the warm shower on a cold day, how that mirror gets all clouded up and you can't see anything reflected back in it. That's what our spiritual mirror has become as a result of that. And like our forefathers, we've all made bad choices in our lives. We're predisposed toward choosing ourselves over God. And we've all sinned. And in just 2 to 3 chapters after Adam and Eve were escorted out of the Garden of Eden, people became so depraved and evil that God needed to do a reset. I mean, it didn't take many generations from the first murder for humanity to get even further degenerated. So God's crowning jewel of his creation, the one creature into which he breathed life, became so decadent and evil and were hurting and killing people in unimaginable ways. You can imagine the glee that the Decepticons, you know, this is Transformers, so the Decepticons, which were the demons and Lucifer, they must have had their, you know, seeing all the destruction they had instigated, they must have just been, you know, all happy about that. You see, there were no boundaries on what people could do. There was no law. It was like driving on a mountain road with a steep cliff on its edge, with no guardrails. God made a huge reset. He selected the only righteous family and wiped out all the other evildoers in one clean sweep. Humanity was awful. Their sins were overwhelming. And Noah was selected from among creation as the one family that was good and from which the hope for mankind would fall. Following the flood, a great reset happened, but mankind's sinful nature still predisposed itself to evil. From the next handful of generations after Noah, God selected Abraham as the people through whom God would bring deliverance from Adam and Eve's original sin. Through Isaac and then Jacob, God's people would be the ones who would ideally demonstrate to the world the proper way to live. And then through Moses, God provided the law, a sort of guardrail for the people to live by until God's plan would come into fruition. See, it was through these descendants that God would ultimately transform some of humanity back into what he originally designed. In the Old Testament, sins were covered by sacrifices, but they weren't removed. See, atonement is covering. When people sinned, they would need to cover or atone for their sin. What we truly needed was to have those sins taken away. And as I mentioned, the law was like a guardrails alongside the roadway. The guardrails don't make you a better driver, but they keep you safer. And the Old Testament law didn't make the Israelites into good people, but it kept them safer from the more heinous crimes. You see, laws don't make people good. They simply restrain people's badness. The first sacrifices as a result of sin were the animals who gave up their skins to cover up Adam and Eve when the first people discovered that they were naked in the garden. And this foreshadowed the idea that the guilt of sin requires atonement. Something must be done to cover a sin. But guilt offerings are not the only type of offerings to God. There were two types of sacrifice, voluntary and mandatory. Voluntary sacrifices included a burnt offering or sacrifice. This was an act of worship to express devotion or commitment to God for those involved with livestock. Abel offered a voluntary burnt offering to God in Genesis chapter 4. Grain and drink sacrifices expressed thanksgiving and recognition of God's provision and unmerited goodwill from those involved with crops. Cain's offering in Genesis chapter 4 alongside Abel's was, or one a farmer might give, you know, for a harvest is an example. And the third type of voluntary sacrifice were peace offerings. You may read about peace offerings in the Old Testament. There was a sacrifice of thanksgiving and fellowship followed by a shared meal. An important feast between two men might have a priest involved to bless the outcome of the meeting. And then there were two mandatory sacrifices in Old Testament law. One was a sin offering to atone for unintentional sin and to cleanse from defilement. You know, think about Job. You remember Job, he provided sacrifices on behalf of himself and his children as a just in case, right? Well, in case, God, I forgot anything else or I missed anything, here's another one, right? So he was just covering all the bases in this situation. And then the other mandatory one was guilt offerings. And this was a sacrifice for the atonement of intentional sins that required some reimbursement to whichever party was offended. and sometimes as a cleansing from defiling sins or maladies. The passage read by Debbie was spoken by the prophet Ezekiel. You know, he prophesied during the years 593 to 570. And when he said, I will put a new spirit within them, and that God would take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of a flesh, Ezekiel was actually repeating a promise made by Moses 600 years earlier. In Deuteronomy 30, right before the Israelites were to pass over the Jordan River to begin taking the land given them by God, Moses wrote that God would circumcise their heart and the heart of their descendants. Well, what was the purpose of circumcising their hearts? So they would love the Lord your God with all their hearts and with all their souls. This was a continuation of the promise of transformation started back in Genesis 3, thousands of years earlier. You know, a contemporary of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, provided us with one of the critical prophecies regarding the promised transformation. In Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31, he said that, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So Ezekiel said God would remove their heart of stone. That is, spiritually dead heart that's been there since Adam, and replace it with a new heart of flesh, a new spirit that is alive. Remember that death means separation. When something is separated from something else. When we die, our spirit separates from our body. When Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits were separated from God. Their spirit was dead, in other words, to him. They were effectively dead or lifeless like a stone. And what Debbie read from Ezekiel and what I read from Jeremiah goes to show that there will be a time when the spirit that is dead to God will become alive. This is what was being taught during the Old Testament period. And that is what Jesus ushered in when he gave himself up for us on the cross. The path to transformation starts with Jesus. He spoke of it directly to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In order to remove the heart of stone mentioned in Ezekiel and replace it with a heart of flesh, a person must be born of the Spirit. That which is born of nature is natural. That which is born of the supernatural spirit is supernatural. So back in Genesis, Adam and Eve made themselves first in the garden. When we place God back in his leadership role, we can begin the process of transformation. And Jesus gave us the roadmap, and it starts with God. Remember, joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. That's the roadmap. You start, the first stop on the map is Jesus. When we accept the pardon Jesus has offered us by acknowledging him as Lord over our lives, we are justified. When we are justified, our sins are not simply covered as they were in the Old Testament. They are removed. They are wiped away. It's just as if I had never sinned. Jesus took all of the wrong we committed, our sins, and atoned for them. The ones we did before we became His follower, and even the ones that we commit after we become a Christian. You know, as Christians, we recognize that we're not any better than those on the outside of this building, but we are forgiven. See, Bethel Church is not a country club for the saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And we're here because we want to be made well. We want to be transformed into the people God created us to be. And being transformed is similar to going through physical therapy after the surgery. Except it's spiritual. You could say it's spiritual therapy. Now that we've had a heart transplant, removing our dead heart of stone with a living heart of flesh, we can start to be made into something much better than when we started this whole process. We refer to this spiritual therapy as sanctification. When we choose to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit seals us and dwells in us. You know, the Holy Spirit has many roles, and one of which is to teach us and help us to remember what Jesus taught. That is what God spoke to Jeremiah when He said, "I will put My law within them and on their heart." The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He's a guide. He's a comforter. He inspires us and lets us know when we are straying from doing the right thing. He transforms us to the extent that we let Him. And we have a role model to which we strive to emulate. Paul told us why God provided the Israelites with the law. He wrote about it in the letter of the Galatian church. One of the first, if not the first, book written from the New Testament. And in chapter 3, verse 19, Paul wrote, "Why the law then?" It's almost like he thought we were going to be talking about this at some point. "It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made." So, you see, this has all been part of the whole big plan from the very beginning. Paul is telling us the law was set up to help restrain evil. But a person will not be good by obeying the law. The law keeps people from behaving criminally. And even then, it doesn't stop them. It just bans it and provides a punishment for transgressions. But the law will not make someone good. Goodness comes from the person. God provided us with a path to holiness. What we are when we are born is not how we were created by God. We are born with clouded spiritual mirrors. Through the tremendous actions of Jesus, God has made it possible for us to be transformed. And it is only through Jesus that this is possible. We can't obey the law ourselves into a new being. The law is just the guardrails that keeps us from plunging over the side of a cliff. Instead, we need to follow that map. Starting with Jesus, we then move on to helping others. And that's where Bethel comes in. We can be the one to show God's love to others through helping them. You know, Mahatma Gandhi once criticized the church where he was living. And he said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Wow. A Christian means to be a little Christ. and for the people to have been behaving that way, that they're not seeing, people are not seeing Christ through their actions, is sad. What would he say about us? See, when we're acting like Jesus, we are being transformed. We are his disciples. When we are not, we hurt ourselves tremendously. DC Talk is a praise group, and they recorded a song called What If I Stumble? One of the lyrics warns us that the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. Do we deny Jesus by our lifestyle? What would our neighbor, our co-worker, our friends have to say about it? If we are studying his word and adopting his behaviors, we're being transformed. If we haven't yet decided to follow his teachings, we can still join with him. In fact, you can do that today by repeating my prayer in just a moment. We are here to help. And joining with him is simple. God gave us guardrails to keep our lives on track. But they were designed to be temporary. With Jesus, all of the laws can be summed up into two. Love God and love our neighbor, others. That's the roadmap. Jesus, others, yourself. Joy. Let the Holy Spirit transform us and polish our spiritual mirrors. There is so much joy and love we are missing, and God wants to remake us into what we were designed to be. The process of sanctification, that spiritual therapy, is what will get us there. Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful to be able to come to you like this today. You are gracious and loving. You are the giver of all good things. Forgive us our sins. Help us to be like Jesus. Help us to learn about you and turn our lives around to make them like we were designed. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Polish our spiritual mirror and inundate us with your love and joy. Amen.
You know, I used to travel a road with a lot of twists and turns that became so much safer when guardrails were installed. But do you know something else? Our lives are much safer when we have the benefit of God's protection all around us. And we don't even have to wait for the highway department to build them for us. Tune in again next time for the final episode of the Transformation Series.